Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, I've got a good word for you guys. Last week we started a brand new series on the book of Galatians. We like to do this once or twice throughout the year and take a break. We just sometimes do series on topics, but I like to do these series based on a book of the Bible and just go chapter by chapter through the Bible because I think it's good for us to get to know our Bible a little bit better. So we started this series on the book of Galatians last week, and I want to just give a little recap and just a little groundwork for where we're going to go today because it's important for us to have a foundation. If you didn't get to be with us last week or you did and you kind of forgot, I just want to encourage you to get on the podcast this week and re-listen to that, or you can get our app and watch the video on there or on our websites. The videos are all on there. And just re-watch that message from last week or listen to it because it's so foundational for this life of faith that God is calling us to live in and that this place he wants us to be, because our journey is not a, we accept Christ and now we're at the destination. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, just the beginning, and every day we're just taking steps. We're taking steps towards where God is calling us to be, so we can relieve the pressure on ourselves of trying to be this perfect, like, mature Christian, and just every day just take one step closer to where God is calling us to be. And that's a whole lot easier, and that's actually the place and the journey that he has us on. Isn't that good to know? You don't have to be a long jumper to follow Jesus. You can just be a step taker. That's all he's calling us to follow him. So I want to look and give you a little history on this book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul actually wrote the book of Galatians, and we call him the Apostle. An Apostle means he wasn't a pastor, that Paul was sort of like a church planter. So he would come to a city, and he would start a church there, and he would teach the people about the gospel of Jesus, and he would begin to raise up leaders. And then there would come this point of time where he would say, okay, you leaders are ready. You run the church now. And then Paul would travel to another city and start the whole process over again. So this was Paul's Christian life. He was traveling, doing this. That's why he's an apostle. And so in this one city of Galatia, he came there and he's preaching the gospel to people who are not Jews, people who have never heard about Jesus before. He preaches the gospel to them. They get excited and they accept Jesus in their heart. And now they're starting this church and they're following Jesus. And they're like, isn't it great what Jesus has done for us? So Paul does this, and then he moves on and he leaves and goes to this next church. But what he would do is he would write letters to these church, because now they have all these people who believe in Jesus and they love Jesus, but they have no basis for how to live their life and follow Jesus. So he writes letters to them, and that's what makes up a large portion of our New Testament, is these letters that Paul wrote. And so he would write these letters to help provide like a foundation of doctrine for the churches, because they didn't know anything. So he's writing letters, teaching them doctrine. What does it mean to follow God? He's encouraging them. He's also praying for them, and he's also doing all of our favorite things, correcting them. Everybody loves to be corrected, right? No. But he's writing these letters to correct them as well. And that's what we see in the book of Galatians, is Paul is actually writing this letter, and he spends 5 verses encouraging them. I'm praying for you. The grace of God be with you. Now, I'm so astonished, right? He's got this attitude. He's correcting them. He's like, I'm so astonished that I came and I taught you about Jesus, and somebody comes in just like that, and you just go right along with what they said, and you just abandon what we taught you about Jesus. Just like that. And so here's Paul, he's writing this letter to them. And what had happened was, when he had passed the church on to these other leaders and moved to the next city, that these Jewish Christians had come in behind him. And these Jewish Christians had been raised with the Old Testament and all the laws, all the Ten Commandments and these things. They were taught that if you do these things, you'll be more righteous and you'll be closer to God. And so they came in behind Paul and they began to tell the Galatians, you're not doing this Christian stuff right. And if you really want to be in God's club, then you've got to check the boxes and do these specific things. This is where Paul is saying, I'm so surprised. You're just so quick to abandon what we taught you and go along with what they're saying. Because they were just like, okay, if that's what you say is right, I guess I'll do it. And so they were just going along with it. So Paul is writing this letter of correction to them about, hey, you're not supposed to live in this mindset of, well, what do I have to do to make sure that I do all the good things so that God will like me and be happy with me? And we see this story of how this unfolds in the very first story of the Bible, where God and man first interact. And we see this definition of relationship with God, because we see the scripture says that God walked with Adam, and he walked with man in the cool of the day in the garden. I just love that picture. You know what I mean? Like, here's God walking in the garden with Adam, and I'm like, God, can we arrange this? Because that just sounds awesome, right? Because then you can get all your questions answered, right? You can like, get some explanation about some things. Like, I just want to walk. That would be cool. One day when we're in heaven, I'm like, I'm going to go on a stroll with God in heaven. Like, where's Chris? Oh, he's strolling with the Lord. But so we see this picture of, that's just all it was relationship with him. And then we see that God, when he created the garden, he created the tree of life, and then he created this other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God puts a choice out there, and we see when Adam and Eve and man came along and they eat out of this other tree, that it wasn't this point where they're like, well, I decided I'm going to sin against God and be far from him now. Actually, they decided like, the serpent actually came and appealed to Eve's desire to be godly. He said, if you eat from this other tree, you'll be more like God. You'll know good from evil. And so they ate out of it, not because they wanted to be sinful and rebellious, because they wanted to be more like God. But what actually happened was more deadly in their life. They switched out of this place of being in relationship with God and loving him and being in this tree of life to being in the tree of this knowledge of good and evil, where now they approach God with what they know about him and the things that are good and the things that are bad. And I'm going to get to God by what I do and what, you know, when I check off my boxes. I was in church. I said a prayer over my dinner, and now I'm going to be closer to God. And they switch to this kind of mindset, and that mindset leads to sin, right? So this is the foundational thing, is that we come to God not based upon what we do, but we come to God based on what Jesus did, what he has done. And we have to understand this foundation, and this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I'm surprised that you're so quickly abandoning the gospel and the grace and the freedom that God has given us to go along and eat out of this other tree and just try to do it on your own. And that's really no gospel at all. And that's why we see so many people in our world just like, if this is how God is, I want no part of it. Because it's this other tree. It's not life-giving. This tree of life over here where we're in freedom in our relationship with God and we love him. Not we're obligated to do things. We're doing things because we are in love with him. So yeah, I'll do whatever you ask me, God. This is life-giving. And so this is where I want to pick up today in Galatians chapter 2. Here's what Paul is writing to the church. He says, later when Peter, the apostle Peter, came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him. And everybody said, ooh, I had a face-to-face confrontation with Peter because he was clearly out of line. Here's the situation. Earlier, before a certain person came from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. So here's Peter, the same Peter that was with Jesus, the same one that denied him three times, this Peter. He's there, he comes to Galatia, he hears about the church, he's hanging out with all these Galatian Christians, and they're having dinner, they're having a good time, they're even throwing the frisbee around on Monday nights at our Connect group. That's a plug for Connect groups. Get in a Connect group, y'all. That's not even part of my message, but he's doing life with these Christian Galatians, right? And then all of a sudden, these Jewish Christians, the same one who brought this other gospel and said, you're not doing Christianity right, they come to Galatia, and all of a sudden, Peter's like, I can't be friends with y'all right now. I got to be over with these guys, right? And he comes right over into this other tree. You see the problem there? It's not good. So this is why Paul is confronting him. He goes on and he says, but when this conservative group came, Peter cautiously pulled back. And he put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. They've been pushing this other gospel. And unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the church joined along in the hypocrisy. So even Barnabas was swept along in the charade. And all the fancy people said charade. But I say charade. It's okay to laugh in church. Is that all right with y'all? I like to laugh. So we see this whole picture of here's Peter in the tree of life just doing life with the Galatians. And then all of a sudden he's over here in this other tree. And it's fun to laugh at Peter because he ain't here, but we here. Right? And how many times do we do the same thing? We're in this moment on Sunday mornings, we're worshiping God, and our faith is built up, and we're encouraged. And then we get out to the parking lot, and that guy doesn't let us in and actually just pulls out from us like, right? Nobody nudging your neighbor right now, okay? Nobody, just keep those elbows right. Just keep them right here. This is your zone right here. Just keep them right here. And I just had this picture of the tree of life over here, growing over here. And then there's this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And right in between is growing this vine. And how many times do we, just like Peter, grab a hold of this vine and Tarzan over to the other tree, right? And just swing on over there. And then, oh, we swing on back. I don't want to be over there. And then we swing back on it, right? See, this is not the life God wants us to be. So the question of the day is, how can I keep from going back? We know we're in this, we're trying to be in this other tree, the tree of life, where there's freedom, where God's spirit is moving, where we're loving him and in this relationship. But how do I keep from grabbing a hold of this vine and just swinging over to the other side? I don't know about you guys, but for me, one of those moments in my life was when I'm driving. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh. Right, but so I remember this time I was driving and I pull up and I'm at this red light. I'm sitting behind this car and the light turns green. And I had had this, y'all, I had a good morning with the Lord. I had read my Bible. I'd prayed and I was, you know, when I left the house, I'm like, praise you, Jesus. You know, and I got some Hillsong on in the car, you know, shout to the Lord. I don't have that song on my phone, but I had some song playing. You know, this is real love. I had that song probably. So I'm sitting at the stoplight, and I'm like, all of a sudden, the light turns green. I'm still sitting there because the guy in front of me is going like this. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to y'all, but I had one of those moments where I know the guy in the car can't hear me. So I'm going to silent yell at him. Right? Now you guys are laughing, but all of you done the same. Everybody, we've all done it. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, because I know he can't hear me, so I'm silent yelling. And all of a sudden I look aside and this person in the other lane is watching me like, and it's at this moment that I remember I'm driving a truck that says a church you can call home on the side. And y'all, I'm swinging in this other tree right now. Right, but we've all had these moments. So the question is, how do we keep from going back to the other side? Because it's not good. It's not good. And I think it starts for us in just understanding the gospel, just having a better understanding of the gospel. And that's where Paul actually goes next. In verse 16, he says this. He says, "We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through personal faith in Christ Jesus." And how did we know this? Because we tried it. We had the very best systems of rules the world has ever seen. They had the Old Testament law. They had the Ten Commandments, the best set of rules to try to be godly we've ever had. And being convinced that no human can please God by self-improvement, we instead believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God, trusting in the Messiah and not just trying to be good. See, it's trusting in God's grace, not trying to be good, right? It's this internal desire. It's not external duty of things that I've got to do. And he continues in verse 19 and says, "What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work." I know I've been there in my life. So he says, "I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man." I know it's easy to say, but this is where it is. Like, how do I quit being in this other tree so that I can be in this tree of life and be in freedom every day that Jesus died for me to be in? Jesus didn't die so that I could just do some good Christian things. Jesus died so that I could live a life full of freedom in the power of his grace so that I could do what he's calling me to do, so that I could make a difference in the life of somebody else. But if I'm stuck in this other tree and I'm there yelling at somebody, it's really hard for me then to tell somebody else, like, hey, peace, my friend, right? Because it's not happening in me, right? So how do we keep from going over there, switching to this other tree? And it's really the main theme of this chapter. It's not really a secret so much as a biblical principle of how we keep ourselves from just swinging over to the other tree and trying to get ourselves back. And it comes down to this. And, you know, this is kind of one of those things where it's not everybody always receives it. And some people are like, this sounds really like it's going to be difficult. And I'm not going to tell you it's easy because it's not. But God wants us to grow in him. God doesn't want us to remain who we are. And actually, we're either growing one way or the other. You don't just stay stagnant. If you're growing closer to him, that's one thing. But if not, then you're growing further from him. What would it look like if I was still a baby up here at 40 years old? That wouldn't look right. That would be messed up. But too many of us live our spiritual lives that way. Always staying a baby, looking for easy things to hear and to do. But see, God wants us to grow up a little bit. And the thing about growth is you can have growth or you can have comfort. You cannot have both. That's a good place to say amen. You can have growth or you can have comfort, but you cannot have both. But God wants us to take steps every day and grow in him. So today I want to give us this principle that's going to stretch us and help us to grow. Not because it's an easy thing or anything like that. I just want to be a good pastor and lead you to this place where you're growing in your relationship with God. So there's a principle that's all throughout Scripture. And Paul addresses this in the very last verse of chapter 2. It's this principle of how we can add the spiritual discipline to our life to keep us where we're just in this mode of like Tarzan and back and forth, swinging back and forth between the two trees. And so I want to read this scripture to you today from verse 20 in Galatians chapter 2. And it says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. This is me. I've been crucified. I know Jesus was crucified, and thank you, Jesus, for being crucified for me. But Paul is not talking about that. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. This life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here he's underlining this fact again that it's not about anything that I do. It's not anything that I do that gets me closer to God. It's only by my faith in Christ that I'm able to even know God. And I have to crucify myself. I've been crucified. So what are you saying to me? Like, we have to have this spiritual discipline and add it to our lives, this art of just daily dying. We're really going to talk about dying in church? Yes, we are. I know, and I got a lot of amens on that one. That's all right. That's all right. See, this is the process of growing. This is the process where God wants us to be taking steps in him. It's this idea of daily growing. Because if it's me in control and I'm the one calling the shots and I'm alive, then it's really just me. But see, when I'm dead to myself, dead men don't get mad in the car. Dead men aren't silent yelling at people, right? Dead men don't get jealous because they're dead. I'm dead. I live through Christ. My life is in Christ. Now, I know this can sound kind of deep. You're like, wow, this sounds really difficult. But let's see. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 16. He said, from that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of law, and that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. And Peter, same Peter, took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, Peter's got some guts, doesn't he? He says, Jesus, come here. I know you just you fed 5,000 people from a Lunchable, but I got some words for you. Like, right? He's got some guts. So he starts rebuking Jesus. Jesus, this ain't never going to happen. I'm not going to let this happen. Man, that's some gutsy stuff right there. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have the concerns of God in mind, but only the human concerns. He's saying, Peter, you're too alive in this moment. You're in this other tree. Jesus then said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And here's where Jesus introduces this concept of people who actually want to live a life full of purpose and live in freedom. It's not about me. I've got to let some things in my life die. If I want to live life to the full, I've got to let some things die in my life. I've got to let some things die. He goes on and he says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. In this moment of like super correction and where it's kind of difficult, like, Jesus, you want me to die to myself? Like, the amazing thing about Jesus is even in that moment, Jesus brings hope. In the middle of every mess, in the middle of hard and whatever, no matter what, Jesus brings hope. And he brings this message of, you know what? If you want to have life, you just got to lose it. You just got to lose it. That's what he's saying. And I think too many times in life when we're in these hard things, there's too many times where we want the situation to change. We want the situations to change, but reality, God wants us to change. And I know we face difficult things in life, difficult things at work. Sometimes relationships are difficult. Marriage can be difficult. Friendship can be difficult. Family. Sometimes it's finances. Financial situations can be stressful and difficult. Sometimes it's health. There's all different kinds of difficult things that we face. And I don't know about you, and I've prayed this too, like, God, would you just make this situation better for me? But see, the problem with that is, even if there was no cars in front of me and I could go through the green light when I thought it was best, I'm still the same, and I can still be just as angry as I was when there's nobody to stop, when the situation was better. I didn't change anything. I'm the same person, right? You can be all alone on the 408, nobody else around you, and still be full of road rage. The situation can change, and your bank can have $10 million in it, and you can still be as broke as you were before. Yeah. See, we want the situations to change, but God is asking us to change. There's this moment of stretching and changing. In Romans chapter 6, it says this. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, that the body ruled by sin would be done away with, it be no more. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because he who has died has been set free from sin." So here's this principle again. Got to die to myself. But when I die to myself, I'm free. There's freedom on the other side of this. And that's really the theme of Galatians, is how do I live in God's freedom every day of my life? That's what it's about. So that we're not in this mode of swinging back and forth between the two trees, right? That's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to be stable and steady. He wants us to be in this life-giving tree, living with him, in relationship with him. So the question is, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, is how do we live this crucified life? If it's so important for us to live the crucified life, how do I do it? Because it's nice to talk about, it sounds good and challenging and super spiritual, but how do I do this tomorrow? It's a good place to start. And this idea of living the crucified life, Paul actually mentions three times in different chapters throughout Galatians. And so I want to look at those three different places today and help us align ourselves with this crucified life. And the first one, if you're taking notes, write this down, is we have to crucify self. Crucify self. And this is that scripture, the last scripture in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he said, "I've crucified myself. It's no longer I that live, but I live in this body through Christ. It's nothing about me. I've got to crucify myself every day." It's just kind of repeating the salvation prayer. If you think back to that moment when you found Jesus and you were like, "Jesus, I'm a wreck. I just give you all of me," right? That's this process of crucifying self, is just coming to this place again and just saying, "Lord, once again, I just give you my heart today. I give you every part of me. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Once again, Lord, I just say I'm yours." I've got to just crucify my flesh a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, it says this. It says, "I die daily." This is where the rubber meets the road, is this dying daily. And all that means is that Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church, and he knew that there was just this tendency to grab a hold of the vine and swing over. But there's this thing that happens when we come to the Lord and we just have this prayer where we say, "God, I just give it all to you. It's not about me, it's about you." That when that happens, like, it enables us to stay in this tree of life. And it really brings me to one of my favorite passages of scripture. And this is from John chapter 3, and it says this. It says, "He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." Man, what would your day be like? What would your life be like if just every day you brought yourself to this place before the Lord and you just said, "Lord, I need more of you today. I need less Chris today, and I need more of you." What would your day look like? We brought ourselves to this point of just dying to ourselves daily. Dying to ourselves daily. And I want to give you this actionable step. So in this process, what does that look like? Dying to myself daily. It really looks like humility. Humility. Because if I'm able to bring myself to this place before the Lord, where I can just, hold on just a few minutes, guys. where I can just be before the Lord and just humble myself and just say, Lord, I need more of you today and I need less of me. See, a man in this place, a person in this place will not fall from there. But when I come in and I'm making myself the show and the big and I've got this and I can do all this, I'm over here in the tree of life, I'm going to be humbled. Scripture says, humble yourselves because you will be humbled. But it's just a whole lot better if you put yourself in that place and say, Lord, I need you. I don't need me. I've already tried me and that doesn't work. I need more of you in my life. So how do we live this crucified life? We crucify ourselves. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. I crucify my flesh. Now, I'm not talking about your skin. I'm not suggesting you go to Home Depot, buy some 2x4s and some nails and crucify. No. That's not what I'm saying. This Bible uses this word flesh, but what that word actually translates to and means is my passions and desires. It's passions and desires. So I've got to crucify some passions and desires inside of me. And the truth is we all have passions and desires that unfortunately don't line up with God's word. But just because we have those passions and desires doesn't mean they have to dominate us. They don't have to dictate our behavior to us. We are in control. The Spirit of God is in control. We can bring ourselves and line up our passions and desires with what God wants, with God's word. Let me show you where Paul talked about this. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, he wrote and he said, those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's me, anybody else, you belong to Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, you've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Too many times I hear people saying, well, that's just how I am. And isn't that what culture tries to tell us? Well, if you feel this is right, then you should just go ahead and do it. Well, if it doesn't feel good, then that must not be the right thing for you. That's just how you are. Go ahead. It'll be all right. The culture wants to influence us and tell us that our passions and desires are just the way that we are, and that's okay. But that's not the truth. See, just because we have those doesn't mean we have to be dictated by them. We don't have to live our lives by them, and we shouldn't. Our lives, we should line them up with what God says and just come to this place every day where we're saying, Lord, I need my passions and desires to be yours. I don't need those things. What do you have for me? It's not about our feelings. It's not about our desires. Because feelings are temporary. Feelings change, right? Because you can feel happy and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel sad. Right? Feelings come and go. So why would I decide things based on feelings? Why would I live by those things? Because that's going to lead me down a path that's no good. Can't be living by our feelings. In Joshua chapter 24, it says this. It says, choose. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And this is the actionable step here is choices. Just make some good choices. And that's really what it comes down to is making choices. Are you going to make some choices that other people won't? And that's really the difference between people who are following God and seeing God move mighty in their lives and living in freedom versus people who just live in this other thing and they're trying to be good, but really that's bondage. But see, it's just choices that we make. Well, I put myself in this place to say, God, I need you. I'm choose to humble myself before you and just say, God, I just need my passions and desires to be yours. God, will you take my thoughts today? Because I don't need my thoughts. I've had those before and they're no good. Can I have your thoughts today, God? Lord, would you take my mouth today? I don't need my words, God. I need more of your words today. God, would you take my eyes today? Because I don't need to see what I see because it's no good. I need to see what you see, God. We've got to put ourselves in this place. It's the choices that we make. It's the choices that we make. And number three, if you're taking notes, how do we live the crucified life? We crucify ourselves. We crucify the flesh. And then number three, we crucify the world. You guys can come on now. I love these guys. These guys are awesome. There's something about when the music starts to play that the Spirit begins to move. And that's scriptural if you don't believe me. Think about when Saul was tormented by evil spirits and David began to play the harp and the spirits left because there's something about when we worship the name. So I love these guys. They've made choices. They've made the right choices to put themselves in a place or they're making a difference in the life of somebody else. Number three, we crucify the world. Here's what that means. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul wrote this: "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul's just saying that if I'm going to live this life that God has for me, I've just got to have this spiritual discipline and practice just to have a world filter. There's just some things I just can't allow in my life if I really want to be where God has called me to this place of freedom. There's just some things that I can't have in my life. I've got to have a world filter, because the reality is you can't be in the tree of life and live in freedom and live in the world. And this is the point where so many people, and maybe you have this voice in your head right now that's saying, well, there it is. I told you the legalism was going to come out. But you have to understand, that's not what I'm talking about. And I actually want to set you straight if that's your thought this morning. Because living the crucified life was not something that Paul made up. It's actually something that Jesus showed us. And I want you to think back to the garden where Jesus was praying before he was taken for a moment. And his prayer was this: Lord, I don't want to do this. Is there another way? Let's do that instead. Please take this from me. But not my will. Yours be done. And even in that moment, he said to his disciples, couldn't I call down a legion of angels and save myself and wipe everybody out? It's not that Jesus had to do it out of obligation. He didn't have to. He chose to. And this is the same for us, but the enemy has come in like he always does and tries to twist what God has brought us. God has brought us freedom. And it's not legalism. It's not obligation. I'm not required or obligated to do these things. I'm not obligated to make the choice to humble myself, but I choose it. It's me. I'm not trying to say, well, I'm judging people. No, I'm not judging people. I'm judging myself. I'm not trying to be holier than thou because I'm not holy. That's the problem. I'm trying to get to a better place. So I'm just want to silence that voice of legalism. That's not what it is. There is that, and it exists, and people live that way, but there's no life in that, and that leads to death and destruction. That doesn't lead to this freedom that God has for us. And can I just actually tell you my story of this? Because for me, it was always in this legalistic tree, and it was especially for me when I was in college, and I lived this way, trying to do the right things, going to church. I went to a Christian school and just trying to be good. And I felt bad if I missed church that week, or, you know, like I was stuck in this tree of life, and it just began to produce things in me that wasn't good. It began to produce a separation from God in my life that wasn't good, and I began to feel it. But I was just doing the things that I thought were great. I learned to play the guitar, and I played blues, and I actually started a blues band. Some of you are like, what? But that was me, and we played, you know, out in all kinds of crazy places, and just, you know, I was living that life, and I knew it wasn't right, and I was far from God. And one day I was sitting in my room just playing the guitar, and I had this moment where God spoke to me, and he said, I've got great things I want to do in your life and through your life, but you're never going to get there with this in your life. And for me, in that moment, it was music. Now, I was a music major. I was a musician, like I grew up a musician. I can play just whatever instruments. And so God is saying, you need to give this up. And I want you to not be listening to music. And especially certain types of music. I'm telling you what, it wasn't easy. That was a hard moment for me. But he said, if you'll make this choice, I'll move in your life. And I'll position you where I want you to be. I wouldn't be here today if I had stayed in this other tree. But I made that hard decision. I had the people come into my face, people in the band, and I broke up the band, and I said, guys, we're not doing this anymore. And they're pointing their finger in my face saying, you're just judging us, saying we're not as good as you. And I didn't have the right wording, and maybe some of you have experienced this or had those thoughts, but it's not about that. It's like, no, I got to take care of me. I'm judging me. I'm not judging you. This is what God is speaking to me, and that's what I would say to you is I'm not going to be the one to stand here and say you should do this, you shouldn't do that, you know, you should not be a part of this or whatever. You don't need me for that. You have the Holy Spirit and you have the Bible. And you better have a line. You need to have a line. But you've got to make that choice where that line is. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, where is this line for me? Where is the world filter where I just cannot let this part of the world infect me? I just cannot let it be part of my life because I want to be here in the tree of life. I'm choosing not because I'm great, because Jesus in his mercy and his grace created this opportunity for me and for you to live in freedom and to be there. I just cannot go there. And can I just say to you, like, you cannot live in the tree of life and in the freedom that God has for you and let Beyonce tell you how to live. You can't have this kind of marriage that God created marriage to be and get your marriage tips from 50 Shades of Grey. It ain't going to happen. That's not a godly relationship. So you've got to decide. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit for yourself. Where's the line? And you've got to look in Scripture and decide, but you better have a line because the world is coming at you. And you better know where that line is. And you just have that world filter because you have to crucify the world to yourself. You've got to do that. I'm going to read this to you from Scripture and give you this actionable step. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." The actionable step, this word is separation. Humility. Choices. Separation. Not because I have to. Jesus created this place of freedom for us. And we can choose to be there or not to be there. But it starts just by being in that place every morning. There's something about when we put ourselves in there and we say, "Lord, I need you today. I need more of you and less of me." That it starts this timer that seems to expire in about 24 hours. And if I don't put myself back there the next morning, then I'm right back over there in this other tree. It's just this daily spiritual discipline of putting ourselves in this place where we're humbling ourselves before the Lord, where we're making good choices, when we're just creating this filter like, I just can't go there because I want to go here. This is my prayer for you. And so I want to pray for you this morning. Lord, I thank you